So for, I know many of you don't really know me, but my name is Jeff James. I'm one of the elders, and when Brett went off to Germany with his wife, he asked for one of us to fill in for him, and I volunteered to do that. Thank you. I don't like that thing around my neck, so I prefer the old-fashioned way, since I'm kind of old anyhow. So if this is your first time here at Grace, which I met JD and Teresa for the first time here, I am not the pastor, so come back next week and meet Brett and see who we really are. So when I volunteered to do this, I sat down and prayed for a while about what I was supposed to speak about, and decided to continue on with Brett's First John time or something else, and I kind of had a feeling like I should do something a little different, and then. Then Jamie said something during one of his Sunday school classes that really sparked something in me. He was talking about, he was teaching on justice, and we were looking at a video series on that, and how he kind of struggled with some of the things that were said in that justice video. And he said that something about like God was chiseling at him or something, some word chisel. And I that sort of sparked something in me, and I really wanted to speak on that. So I have a video I want to show you. So I'm going to do all kinds of things that Brett doesn't do. He doesn't show videos. That's one thing he doesn't do. But I'm going to do that. And we'll kind of go from there. So let me. We'll show a video as long as the video machine works. But anyway, so let me pray, and then we'll start. So Father, I love you, Lord God. I love you. It's my desire, Lord, to be up here for you to use me, Lord God, for you to give me your words to speak to my brothers and sisters here today, Lord God. And I pray first and foremost, Lord, that I would speak only your truth. If there's anything that is not of you, that people would hear it, Lord God, and that you would just calm my heart and mind, that I might speak intelligently, Lord God, and clearly, and that this would be a great time together with your people, Lord. And again, I love you, and I just pray that you be here in a mighty way and work amongst us. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to start by reading a passage out of C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. And so we'll start there, and then we'll kind of... So it says, imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he is doing. He is getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that these jobs needed doing, and so you are not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably. It does not seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of, throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage. But he is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. So and we'll continue on the next section there. But when I read that, the first thing is why does God come into your house in the first place? It's because you've invited him. All of you here that are believers, you have invited Jesus into your house, into your life, in the first place. He doesn't come in unless you invite him. So when we invite God into our house, into ourselves, and to live in our lives, we generally do it. A lot of times we do it because we want him to fix some little part of our life to make our lives better, make it easier, give us peace, give us the abilities to handle circumstances, whatever it might be. We want to live comfortably and peacefully. We're not really looking to turn our whole life over to him. We just want to manage a small part of our lives, and we'll take care of the rest. But that isn't the way God works. He's going to send his Holy Spirit to come live inside of us if we ask him to come. And he's going to want to make you into a palace, into a temple, into a place where his Holy Spirit can live. And honestly, if you're seeking peace and joy and comfort, you're not going to find it until you totally surrender to him anyhow. But we don't usually realize that when we start. And it really makes me think of my story, because I became a believer in my early 30s. I was a lieutenant commander in the Navy. I was a department head on a nuclear submarine, and God had blessed my wife and I with two sets of twins 19 months apart. And I was dying. I was not doing well. And my wife was doing great, but no, I was not handling the stress of that situation at all. And I was afraid for my children and myself. And God brought me to around an old a college classmate of mine who had gotten out of the Navy and was working for the Navigators, and I became a believer through him. And really, my goal then was that I become a nice, peaceful cottage. You know, I had no great desires for what God was going to remake me into some great, glorious mansion. I'm still not there, but what God did do is He totally changed our lives over the years. To the point where we went into the mission field and went to South Africa. And now I'm a principal of a Christian school, which I never understand how that happened. So the point being is that you know, if you let God into your life, you need to surrender all of yourself to Him, because He will make you into what He really meant you to be. You know that you need to surrender that. So going on in this passage from Mere Christianity, he quotes Matthew 5:48, which says, "But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." So continue on. So the command, "Be ye perfect," is not idealistic gas, nor is it a command to do the impossible. He's going to make us into creatures that can obey that command. He said in the Bible that we were gods, and He's going to make good His words. If we let Him, we can prevent Him if we choose. He will make the feeblest and filthiest of us into a god or goddess, a dazzling, radiant, immortal creature, pulsating all through with such energy and joy and wisdom and love as we cannot now imagine. A bright, stainless mirror which reflects back to God perfectly, though of course on a smaller scale, His own boundless power and delight and goodness. The process will be long and in parts very painful, but that is what we are in for, nothing less. He meant what He said. We need really to grasp and embrace the incredible plan that God has for our lives. We also need to embrace the fact that it's not easy, that it's a long and difficult and sometimes painful journey, but that God will always be with us. You know, God will always walk down that path with us as He tries to make us more and more like His Son, Jesus. We need to be ready to do the hard work that's required of us.